For our scripture lesson this morning, I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs 11, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. We'll just be reading one verse there, and then a few others in Proverbs 26. So hear this verse from God's Word. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. And then turning over to Proverbs 26 now, and we will read in verse 20 and following. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. And then for our new covenant reading this morning, I'd ask you to turn now to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we will begin our reading in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let all God's people say, Amen. I was born in 1969, just at the tail end of the 60s. So the bulk of my childhood was lived through the 70s, the disco age, you might call it. But a number of you were conscious through the 60s, or I might say at least lived through the 60s, and can perhaps remember the best known slogan of the demonstrators, those who were anti-establishment. It was that slogan, make love, not war. Make love, not war. And that captures a generation, doesn't it? A generation that wanted to be anti-establishment, a generation that perhaps in the first place didn't really believe in many moral absolutes. Gratifying yourself pretty much in any way that you could was the order of the day. And so, making love was set over and against the establishment's greater desire to make war. So the peace generation's understanding was that if we just be more involved in love, in the rather loose way they were defining that term, that we would be less involved in the establishment's desire to engage in military matters. We would make love, not war. Now, this isn't a sentiment that Christians would entirely agree with. It's a sentiment that's both self-indulgent and undisciplined. But there is a sense in which this is a Christian sentiment if we understand it properly. Our heart attitude should be for love and not for war. Now, those of us who are in the Reformed camp, theologically speaking, have very strong doctrinal convictions that apply to every area of life. But sometimes even we in the Reformed camp can show that the very opposite of that attitude that we are for love and not for war. Now, the way I'm using the word war here is, doesn't have to be understood in simply international terms. No, rather, I'm speaking of the tendency to show a personality of character which likes to argue. You know, we like to portray characteristics that show that we're a pugnacious people. You know, we're hard to get along with. We're hard-nosed. We're pushy. Some people might say that we have a chip on our shoulder. Well, the book of Proverbs in chapter 26 and chapter 11 has some very important things to say about the way in which we speak to one another and the kind of character that we have, whether it's inclined toward love or inclined toward war, inclined toward peacemaking on the one hand, or inclined toward confrontation, irritation, or lack of reconciliation. We read in verses 20 through 22 of Proverbs 26 of two types of people. First, there are the talebearers, and secondly, there is contentious people. Talebearers and contentious people, though different, have this one thing in common. They promote, first of all, personal pain. And secondly, and more importantly, they cause intrapersonal strife. Talebearers, gossips, the Bible also sometimes calls them whisperers on the one hand, and those who tend to have a chip on their shoulder on the other hand, contentious people, both promote pain for individuals as well as interpersonal strife. And these we'll be dealing with in the next 2 weeks of sermons. Contentious people start fires. And they keep them going and going. And both kinds of people, really, talebearers and contentious people, are immersed in pride, the Bible says. They are immersed in pride. I recently read some very striking words from Lighton, a commentator on the book of 1 Peter, words which are very appropriate for this text here in Proverbs. I'd like to share it with you. He wrote that man is naturally his own idol. Man is naturally his own idol. He would be honored and esteemed by any means. And to magnify this idol self, he kills the name and esteem of others in order to sacrifice to it. We tend to idolize ourselves, and we're willing to sacrifice the name and the esteem of others in order to that sacrifice might be made to ourselves, in order to build ourselves up. Of course, this is a very dramatic way of putting it. Most of you likely do not go home and go in front of the mirror and start bowing and say, oh, here's the idol that makes up my life. This is what makes life worth living for me, this person in the mirror. I just want everything to be magnified for the person I see in the mirror. No. Probably most of you, if not all of you, do not do that. We're not that blatant outwardly. But we do have heart attitudes that are very ready to sacrifice the well-being, the good reputation, and the peace of mind of other people as long as we are gratified and satisfied, as long as we get something out of that. We're building ourselves up at the expense of others because we're not really people who are inclined toward peace. Well, how do we learn how to make peace with one another? We're going to spend 3 mornings, as I've reflected on this, I need 3 mornings to answer that question. But dealing with this passage today, there are 2 things which we must put off if we're to become the peacemaking people that God would like for us to be. And we'll consider the first of these today. The talebearer. The second we'll consider next week, the contentious man. But today, listen carefully, you're to make peace with one another first by putting off talebearing. Putting off talebearing. Look at Proverbs 26, verse 20 and following. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer or gossip, strife ceases. Well, this morning I'd like to bring to your attention six kinds of talebearers. We might say it's a sort of rogues gallery of talebearers. See if you can find anybody that you know. As talebearers come in different sizes, different forms, different shapes, different methods. They have different styles. But all of us, I'm afraid, are guilty at one time or another of talebearing. All of us, at one time or another, use our tongues in a way that is not calculated to help other people, but is calculated to bring other people down, to cause contention or a lack of peace. Well, the first form of talebearing you want to put off in your life is the busybody. The second is the buttinsky. The third is the insubordinate. The fourth is the incendiary. If you can't spell that, you can write arsonist, but incendiary. The fifth is the opinionated. And the sixth is the terrorist. The terrorist. And so we might clothe these people in ways that are recognizable. We'll give these titles to them. So first of all, the busybody. Here you have what the Bible, especially in Proverbs, calls the whisperer. The whisperer, the person that talks behind backs. The person that meddles in the concerns of others, who enjoys talking about other people's business and how they ought to be making their decisions, how they ought to be living their lives. Here's the person, I guess, that just enjoys living the life of other people, who enjoys to criticize the way other people are living their lives and talking about things which are really not their business whatsoever. Talking about things which God has not placed under their authority or their jurisdiction. Anybody here recognize themselves as a meddler who likes to talk about other people's affairs more than your own? Don't raise your hand. Just in your heart, you can ask yourself that question. But secondly, the buttinsky. Now, if you want to write that in your notes, it would be butt-in-ski, S-K-Y. As the name suggests, this is the person who likes to butt in to the affairs of others, who likes to intrude into the lives of other people. I want you to look at 26, verse 17, just a few verses before what we read in 26 today. Listen to Proverbs 26, verse 17. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, I had a dog once, and some of you are aware of the certain habits of dogs. Some of them are really disgusting. But this one's a bit more understandable. And dogs generally don't enjoy being pulled on by the ears. It's not pleasant for them. They tend to snarl and bite at the hand that is lifting them by the ears. And the Bible says, if you like to butt in to other people's arguments and involve yourself in the strife that's already going along, then the Bible says that you're like that person who is willing to pick up a dog by the ears. Why would you do that? You buttinsky. Don't be a talebearer. Mind your own business, the Bible says. Don't be a gossip by involving yourself in other people's business. But third, we have the talebearer in the form of the insubordinate. Some of you people, no doubt, work in places, the workplace, where you have other employees that will perhaps be heard around the water cooler or in the lunchroom, assuming responsibility that's not really theirs in the first place. Employees are really good at that, aren't they? Employees figure that they could run the business a lot better than the people who are actually having the responsibility to do that. And so they're very well free with their criticism. Now, they may be less than well-grounded in the facts or the well-being of the company. They may be less qualified than those who are running the company, but they're very willing to open their mouths, to talk, to bear tales, to whisper, to gossip behind their boss's backs, especially in those areas in which God has given them no authority whatsoever, given them no reason to think that it's any of their business. Assuming responsibility that isn't yours is to be an insubordinate. But fourth, we have the incendiary. You know, the person who is an arsonist, the person who likes to start fires, the person who circulates criticism rather than going to the person being criticized for the sake of a direct resolution. Yes, here's the person who starts fires. Here, there, everywhere. Who wants to talk. Who enjoys telephone campaigns. Oh, aren't we so concerned about so-and-so? What do they do? Rather than going to the heart of the problem and dealing with it and achieving peace, we would rather make sure that the fire is spread and spread and spread. In James, our New Covenant reading this morning, the third chapter, verse 6, we just read it a moment ago, James has this to say about the tongue. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Wow. James doesn't mince any words there. You know, he says we start fire with our tongues because our tongues themselves are set on fire by hell. It's not a wisdom from above that causes you to be an incendiary with your mouth. It's a devilish characteristic. It comes from below, from hell. It's devilish. James says when we want to talk about other people, to bear tales and gossip. And I suppose that this is a good place to tell you that gossip isn't just gossip because it is false. Slander is slander because it is false. But gossip may be very true. But what makes it gossip is that it's none of your business to be talking about it. And when the gossip, you know, whether he or she is speaking something that is true or not, goes around spreading fires, being an incendiary, then that is generated from hell, James says. But fifthly, the talebearer comes in the form of the opinionated person, the person who loves to voice personal opinions, but without proper investigation. That's the key with the opinionated person. We could think here, if you ever read Alice in Wonderland, you remember the Red Queen in Alice in Wonderland? Do you remember her famous line? What was it? It was, no, verdict first, trial later. Verdict first, trial later. Here's the person who has the bottom line, the opinion, but we'll look into this later if we have to. We'll do investigation later. Now, all of us can be like this. We tend to think that we have the right to air our own opinions, our own thinking, to share our thoughts with other people, regardless of the content, regardless of the destruction, regardless of whether or not we've even done our homework into the issue. And some might say, well, we all have a right to our opinion, don't we? Well, I mean, we could debate that, but really the question is, do we have the right to always express our opinion? That's the real question. But sixthly and lastly, for our rogues gallery, the talebearer comes in the form of the terrorists. This is worst of all. This is the person who, in fact, is trying deliberately to damage the reputation of another person rather than trying to improve that person. You might want to ask yourself, when it comes to your speaking critically of other people, whether it's ever right for you to speak critically of another person when you don't intend for that person to be improved by what you say and how you say it. You know, I can't imagine, anyway, an opportunity, a situation, a circumstance where my speaking to put another person down was ever right. Was ever right. Now, my speaking might have the effect of putting a person down, but as a Christian, if I do that, it had better be for the sake of lifting that person back up, improving their lives, and drawing them closer in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than simply leaving them wounded on the ground. So tail-bearing in the form of busybodies, Budinskis, insubordinates, incendiaries, opinionated people, terrorists cause strife in families. They cause strife in the workplace. They cause strife in congregations. And this, the author of Proverbs says and James says, you must put off. But there is a second point to be made today. Not only must you put off tail-bearing, you must also put on something else. And what is that something? Well, to speak metaphorically here, you must put on water. Now, this, of course, is a metaphorical way of putting it, but the book of Proverbs teaches that if you would quench or douse the flame of contention, you should look for the fuel that is feeding it. In the words of our text, the charcoal, the embers, the wood that's feeding the fire, and remove that which is causing the flame. Douse it. And James really makes the exact same point in his section of his letter. The loose tongue, James says, in verse 5, what does it do? It can ignite this destructive fire. In the forest that is set ablaze in James' picture is trouble. It's conflict that can't be remedied. It has irreparable damage done. And that's why, listen carefully, that's why it is so important why early efforts by a peacemaker, and the stress there is on early efforts by a peacemaker, can put out the damage, put out the flames, pour water on the flames before much damage is done. And how do you do this? Well, there are two things. First thing you must put on is you must bridle the tongue. You must bridle the tongue. That is really the biblical alternative to gossip, you see. And we got that from the first text of Scripture we read this morning, Proverbs 11, verse 13. And what did that text say? It said, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. You see the antithetical parallelism there. Now, the concealing here isn't ignoring the matter. That's not what the text is speaking of. Concealing does not mean ignoring the matter at all, but it rather means keeping it quiet. Keeping it quiet rather than spreading the details all over the church. You know, you might hear your next door neighbors having this incredible fight. You know, they're yelling. You know, you'd have to be 5 miles away not to hear it. And, you know, but what do you do with that? You know, do you go around telling everybody else about it? You know, what you didn't hear is the loving reconciliation that perhaps took place afterwards. So you're just spreading around the fire. You're not bridling your tongue. You're spreading it around. Don't talk to everyone else about it. Talk to the neighbors if you have to. And the trustworthy person won't ignore sin. Doesn't just pretend it's not there, doesn't exist. You know, the trustworthy person doesn't do that, doesn't ignore it, but will rather confront the sinner about his sin, and it will all be done quietly between the two of them and God at the beginning. And not only this text, but many others would also speak in Proverbs, especially showing you the importance of bridling the tongue, putting on that bridle. Proverbs 21:23, for example, indicates that unless one guards his mouth, his tongue will lead to trouble. Proverbs 18, verse 6 says that gossip causes contention, and the gossip deserves a beating himself. Proverbs 25, verse 23 tells you that a secret wagging tongue, what a picture there, a secret wagging tongue, tempts the recipients of gossip to become angry with others that they have no reason to be angry with. And isn't that so true? The person who has a sharp tongue often ends up sharpening other people's tongues as well. Proverbs 16, verses 27 through 28 describes the man who digs up evil. You know, just scrapes up the embers, gets things going. He's described as worthless and perverse, and his lips are compared to a flaming fire. Proverbs 17, verse 9 states the truth that one who repeats a matter separates friends. One who repeats a matter separates friends. So the first step here is to bridle the tongue. You know, if we would just all learn to close our mouths, how much peace there would be in the world. J. Sidlow Baxter once said that one of the first things that happens to a man when he's really filled with the Spirit is not that he speaks with tongues, but that he learns to hold the one that he already has. And that is very true. But the second step here is not only to bridle the tongue. What else must we put on? Not just bridle the tongue, but we must cover the ears. No one can have a gossiping tongue unless he or she first has gossiping ears that likes to listen to gossip. And it's important to see that this passage of Proverbs 26 deals not only with gossips. Oh, no. It also deals with the receivers of gossip, too. Look at the text again. Let's look at it. In verses 22, you're told where there's no wood, there's no fire, you know, where there's no whisper, then you don't have any contention. Then it continues that metaphor, this time throwing coal into the picture. We read that as charcoal is to burning coals, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. But notice, especially, now the next words. What are the next words? It says the words of a talebearer are like what? They're like tasty trifles. Tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Oh, how easy it is to receive a tasty bit of food. And how easy it is to receive a tasty bit of gossip when it's offered. But just remember, I'll warn you, whoever gossips to you will also gossip of you as well. So yes, you must cover your ears. Not necessarily literally, though. Sometimes that might not be such a bad idea. But you must learn to refuse to accept gossip when it's offered. You need to learn to say to people, you know, the Bible says that we ought not to talk negatively about other people. If there's a problem with Phyllis, go talk to her about it. You know, perhaps you can help her. Now let's pray that God would bless the situation. So you need to redirect it. That's being a peacemaker. That is being a peacemaker. Now, brothers and sisters, we're just at the beginning here of this series. We have two more sermons dealing with peacemaking and resolving conflict with others. But God wants you to realize today that gossip is a vicious and a hurtful thing. Those who practice gossip often become so involved in it that they're often not even conscious that they're doing it. It's become a way of life to them. Blaise Pascal once said that I hold it to be a fact that if all persons knew what each said of the other, there would not be four friends in the world. That's one reason why you need to be aware of the destructive effects and the destructive power of the sin. Marriages have been split and broken by gossip. Churches have been split and broken by gossip. Friendships have been destroyed by talebearing, by gossip. One way to make a habitual gossip aware of his or her sin is to print out the verses that we've talked about today and hand it to that person. Maybe you need to print them out for yourself. Or you may have to go around to the people that you spread rumors about and confess that it was wrong to make them a party to your sin. And in all things, we must learn the meekness of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any had a right to speak, it was he, the Lord Jesus. But when on trial for an offense that he did not commit, we read in Isaiah, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. May you too learn that fruit of silence, that fruit of meek restraint when tempted to bear tales. And may you begin to see contention cease and peace abound. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we confess to you our sin of gossip. Indeed, only one of the things that causes a lack of peace, but nevertheless an important. Gossip is sin which strikes a double blow, wounds both the one who commits it and the one whom it's committed against. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to exercise the restraint of speech that so adorns the Christian life and reflects the meekness of our Lord. We pray that you'd help us to put an end to talebearing in our lives, that strife might cease, that peace in our families, in our church, in our friendships would be our portion. So we ask this in Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.